You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live Portraits, featuring intimate, in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live Portraits, Dario Kristen.
Hey everyone, you're watching Black Hollywood Live Portraits. I'm your host, Dario Kristen, and here joining me is the lovely Courtney Stewart.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a very special guest with us today. She is on Let's Stay Together on BET, which premiered fourth season last night. Erica Hubbard is with us today, and you know her as Keita. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys came back strong last night.
You did.
Literally my hand, I live tweeted my wrist and hand was sore from responding. But I was happy everybody responded the way they did. I was like, I love it. So it was cool. Fourth season. It was cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
And then when you first saw the script at the beginning, did you know, like, from reading it that this was going to be a hit? Did you feel it? Because some people say that they do.
Yeah. You know what? I was going with my spirit. My spirit was like, look, chick, you finished Lincoln Heights and you were on a drama. Let's see if you can do a comedy. Can you be funny? Can you? My spirit was like, oh, are you challenging me? I was kind of having this conversation with myself. I was like, I could do comedy. So then I kind of dived into it and I guess people love Keita and what she does. So, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. So I'm happy that the show has grown, the audience has grown, and here we are, season 4.
Season four.
What was that audition process like for you? Because there's been some stories about them doing the chemistry tests and all that kind of thing. Right. How was it for you?
The process. That's what I call it, the process. I'm from Chicago, you know, the South Side. And I was in Chicago when I got the call to come in for the audition. So I was like, fly back to L.A. I don't know. You know, I just finished a drama for 4 years. Okay, let me go and do it. So I read the material, went in, and I was like, I like this. Okay, cool. I like Keita Whitmore. And then I went back home. Because, you know, you think nothing of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some actresses that wait by the phone, and they're crying, and they're like, oh, I didn't get the call. Some of my actress friends. But I don't do that. I kind of let it go. So I was at a wake for my cousin, and I got a phone call. So I'm viewing the body, and then it's like, oh, we need you to come back for Let's Stay Together, you know, for producers and, you know, network. And I'm like, wait a minute, So literally I went around to all my family members, because I felt so bad. And I was like, would you guys be mad at me if I had to catch a plane and leave and I couldn't make it to the funeral? And they're like, no, we know, you have to do what you have to do. So literally I flew out the next night, and I dedicated to my cousin,
my performance
to Keisha. And Keisha helped me, you know, so.
guiding angel.
So there we go. And then, you know, let's Keita Whitmore and Let's Stay Together.
All right.
Yeah.
And what's been your favorite part about playing Keita?
Ooh, my favorite part. I like the fact that she's sassy.
She's really
do like that she's vocal. She says what's on her mind. But she's fun-loving. And the reason why I like it is because I was on a show where she was quiet.
Right.
Cassie Sutton was like, is something
quiet.
Wrong with her? She's going to snap any minute. So being an introvert for so long, you kind of want to get out of your shell and play something that has a little bit more life. So Keita Whitmore has a little bit more life, and I love what they've written. I love the fact Jackie Edmonds-Cofer brought black love to
She's
the screen. You don't have to see anybody pulling each other's hair out, fighting, bickering.
Go figure.
Oh my gosh.
It's about time.
Thank you, Jackie Edmonds-Cofer and Queen Latifah.
And
Thank you. Because sometimes I get tired of seeing adult women fight. That's not cute. Do people do that for real? Yeah, I know.
No, not at all.
Right. So it's like when Let's Stay Together started airing, it was a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about love and romance, and it makes you feel good, you know.
And you mentioned
you mentioned about the transition from the drama to comedy part. What did you find most difficult once you were hired on the show? So you obviously did something great.
What did you
find challenging when you really started working on the show? Or what showed you something about yourself in the process?
that I really have this silly, goofy side to me, because sometimes I'll be on set and I'll be like, let's do this, let's try this. And then you'll hear people like behind the camera laughing. And I'm like, are they laughing at me? And they're like, yeah, that was funny. Okay, do some more of that. So it showed me that, you know, I can be kind of lighthearted and I can kind of be like the black female version of Kevin Hart, you know?
I like that. Hey, listen.
Love Kevin Hart. He's doing his thing now.
Yes, and that's a good category to be in, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the greats come from comedy. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on. And it's just like, to be a female who delivers, you know, a comedic performance,
yeah,
I feel so happy. And then I feel happier because I come from the drama world where I can make somebody cry, but then I can make somebody laugh. And me, you know, having that skill set, shout out to Columbia College, Chicago Theater Department. Shout out to them. I feel very happy and fortunate that, you know, people consider me for dramatic roles and comedic roles. So I can kind of balance the two.
And then you had mentioned also that Queen Latifah, we know, is the executive producer for the show. She obviously has her hands in a lot of different things. She's acting. She's also producing her talk show. Does she come on set a lot and give you guys any pointers or?
Ooh, Queen Latifah, she comes when she comes.
Right.
When we say that, we're like, uh-oh, is it my hair? You know, we're trying to get it together vocally, doing our little exercises.
Right. Stretches going on.
Latifah, you know. But when she comes, it's to bear good news.
Yes.
It's to bear good news. She's like, okay, season 3, you're going to season 4. And now I have to say, I don't know if anybody else has said this, we're going to season 5.
Yay!
Woo, the exclusive.
The exclusive here. Yes, I don't think they
Black Hollywood Live exclusive.
Uh oh.
That's it. That's
looking over at the publicist
for you.
Right.
Is that okay to say?
Is that okay?
Well, it's, you know, we're gonna start filming in the fall.
Yes.
So I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's all great news.
No, great I'm happy.
News. Yes.
I'm very happy. So in between that, I've been doing some films, and I did stage. I love the stage. A lot of people don't do the stage, and I have no idea why people don't, but it's a challenge, and it teaches you how to be fearless. And I did. I played a slave last year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Me, I shared it because most people don't believe that I went there, but it was the best experience ever. But it was a hard experience because they actually took me to the actual place where she served her, you know, she served the food and washed the clothes and everything. It was crazy. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't know that back then that the slaves, they most of them worked where they lived. So if you were in the kitchen working, that's where you lived. Some of them laid their heads down and went to sleep in the kitchen.
I didn't realize that.
No. I didn't either until I got down there, and it was in Virginia. So it was challenging, but I had a 3.5-page monologue.
Oh.
With no interruptions, no cut, stop, let's try that again. And oh my gosh, was I sweating after I did it. Oh my God. But I get through it, and I'm happy I get through it.
Now, I know you also have, you've had several extensive kind of theater backgrounds. Even when you were at Columbia, you were doing theater there. But I read that at an early age, you knew exactly that you wanted to be an actress, even at the age of 9. What was it, what caught your attention? Like, what was it in that moment where you were like, you know what, this is what I want to do, even at that young age of knowing it?
Well, my dad, I owe him, you know, to where my career is at now, because he always pushed me. He was like a stage parent. He still is a stage parent. He called me last night, like, so what's next? What do we have going on? And I'm like, So he pushed me to actually even want to be involved in the entertainment industry. And as soon as I went on stage, I kind of knew it. I had one line when I was 9 years old. I got this play, and one line's like huge for a 9-year-old. So basically, I'm behind the curtains, and they're like, just say a dream come true. And I'm like, a dream come true. Okay, that's all I have to say, a dream come true. And I was so nervous. A 9-year-old, literally, when it was time, because at that time, I wasn't really listening for my cues, so I was so nervous. They pushed me out on the stage, and I'm like, a dream come true. And the crowd erupted, and I'm like, I like this feeling. They started clapping up. Applauding, and I'm like, oh my gosh, a dream come true. I'm gonna do this for a living. So then that's when I was like, okay, I need to really pursue this. I like the feeling that people give you when they appreciate your work.
Yeah. And I'm with theater, you get that even more instantaneous, you know, versus television and film.
With theater, they'll tell you immediately after you get off the stage. I remember doing this one play, and I had to have a Southern accent, and it was crazy. I had to work on it. And at the end of the play, people would come up to me like, I like the accent. And I'm glad you kept it. I was listening for you to see if you were going to break character. I'm like, wow, people really pay attention. So I was like, thank you. And they were like, well, good job. So it's immediate feedback. Whereas, well, now with social media, you kind of get the immediate feedback. True. You know, like last night when Let's Stay Together
almost too much.
I know. They say, I like your hair. I like your shoes. Right. I like your shape. So I'm like, okay, they really pay attention to everything. Like my shoes, okay, you got to pay attention to everything. So it was cool. People said they liked the hair last night. So
it was very nice.
Shout out to the crew of Let's Stay Together. They did a good job.
Okay, so going back, as you know, you're young, you're doing a little stage. You also got into a lot of commercial work and doing that. What, as a child, you have that positive reception on stage in this moment in the theater, but then going out for commercials and getting some and not getting some and being in school and dealing with that. What was that like for you growing up?
It's the same now. Rejection, you know. I think that you have to be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because I know a lot of people that can't handle it and they're in the business and it's like, oh, get some counseling or something because it's a rough business. Yeah. But even at a young age, those kids are handling rejection when they hear the no's. So I get excited and I follow people's careers because when they hear the yeses, it's like, yes, I know what you had to go through in order to get that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work involved. So in between times to stay busy, it's like, you know, you have to have a creative outlet. What I did was I wrote some books, and I told some stories through my books. I love the art of storytelling, and I wrote children's books. And so now I can go around to schools, and I can actually read the stories out loud to kids, and it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like reading out loud, performing for the kids. And I love it. I love it, but it keeps me busy, and plus it's something positive to do. You know, literacy is so important, especially, you know, growing up on the south side of Chicago. You're like telling kids, like, what book are you reading? They're like, read a book. I didn't read a book this year. What?
Not this year.
Right. My teacher gave me a chapter to read, but like, no. What's your favorite book? They're like, huh? Favorite, I love this reality show. I love this. I'm like, read a book and watch TV. You can do both at the same time. Just pick up a book. So it's crazy.
Well, you clearly have book smarts. You graduated college in 3 years. You were a broadcast journalism major and a theater minor.
Yes.
Now, why did you want to end school early? I mean, most people go, you know, they go to college. They at least want their 4 years. They're having fun. What made you want to kind of cut yours a little bit short?
Well, wow, that's a good question. I never thought about that. Why? I guess I kind of challenged myself when I was in school. I saw a lot of people in school doing the 5-year route and the 6-year route.
I might have been a 5.
Oh, sorry.
Shame on you.
I'm just saying. But I had internships. So
okay.
That helps.
You was busy doing something, that partying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just hanging out, running up.
Okay. But I didn't. I just wanted to get out and really go to Hollywood, you know? And I knew the quickest way to do that was to take summer courses and to take night classes. And ooh, them night classes, those people are serious in those night classes. They get off work and they're there to get that degree. So I was in there and I was like sometimes the youngest person in the night class. And they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm trying to get out early. So I had to go to someone. I never told anybody this story. Should I say this? Anyway, I went to someone at the school and I said, I need you to sign off on this paper. And they're like, what paper? I said, well, in order to graduate early, I need, an advisor to sign off on it. And he's like, you want to graduate in 3 years? Ha, 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 yeah, right. You're not going to do that. Yeah. What? Excuse me? You're supposed to believe in me? Okay, you're not going to believe in me. I'm going to believe in myself. Can you just sign the paper, please? Well, no. I mean, nobody's done this. Who wants to do this? And I was like, just sign it and I'll prove you wrong. And hopefully I proved that person wrong because I did it and I graduated in 3 years.
Well, clearly you did.
A major, a minor, and a concentration.
Right.
Exactly. Why was it important for you to go to school? Because obviously you knew what you wanted to do. You wanted to be in Hollywood and get out here. Why did you choose the school route at all?
Oh my gosh. Did you guys hear that joke Ellen DeGeneres said?
Mm-hmm. She
was the best.
Who went to college?
Yeah. She's like, who went to school here? She's like, kids stay in school. Yeah. I wanted to be the actress who had a degree. I'm sorry. I believe in book smart, and I love books and reading, and you know, the discipline, the art of reading. And in college, that's what you basically mostly do yeah. is reading and memorizing and studying. Yeah. So I wanted to challenge myself. I didn't just want to be that actress where they're like, oh, she's good, but did she go to college? So no, I'm an actress and I'm a college graduate. So I just want to be well-rounded.
And then while you were in college, you had a talk show as well, correct?
So now,
did you have dreams of, outside of just acting, maybe being an entertainment reporter, along with being a talk show host?
Yes, I I did. I hosted a kid's show for about 3 years called Up and Running, and I wanted to pursue hosting as well because I love what you guys do. You know, you guys. Bow down, you guys. You guys put news out there. We need the news, you know, to know what people's doing in life, you know, and it's so vital. And I kind of like was attracted to that. So it's like something I can always fall back on, you know. Yeah.
And then at what point did you kind of decide like, okay, I'm going to focus more on the acting portion versus just the hosting or reporting part?
When did I start focusing on it? I'm kind of like that girl in college who did both. It was so weird because I was hosting Up and Running, which received a regional Emmy. I was so happy. Yeah,
that's huge. It was especially huge. For someone at your age at that time, too.
I feel so fortunate that happened in my life. But I was balancing hosting that show and as acting. So I don't know. I kind of like both worlds, but what kind of drove me to more of the acting world is moving out here to California, and I would get phone calls for, you know, television and film, and it kind of took my time. So I was like, okay, one or the other. So I started just doing, you know, Cold Case, Judge and Amy.
ER. And what was it like for you to be, you know, just moving here and being on the sets of those big productions and just huge hit shows at the time?
I'm still amazed at the people, my surroundings, and where I'm at. You know, it's crazy because I went to a pre-Oscar party, and you know, I've been out here for, you know, some years. I'm not gonna say how many years, but I'm still amazed at the talent that I come across. Yeah. It's like, so I'm, you know, trying not to be starstruck. But even people who I work with, I'm just amazed. Like, they're in my face. Oh my gosh. Like, even like Queen Latifah, that's my boss. What? Really? Wow. So all these iconic people are around me, and I just love their energy. So.
Has there been someone on set that you saw that just, you mentioned Queen Latifah, of course, because you deal with her a lot now, but was there someone on your previous sets that you were like, this person's acting, you were in awe, like you had a moment where you had to just sit back and literally watch them act because it was just so tremendous?
Angela Bassett and Akeela and the Bee. That lady is a force to be reckoned with. I want to see her win an Academy Award. She deserves it. Outright. That lady is phenomenal.
She brings it.
And she's not one of those selfish actresses. Yeah. She actually tells you, come here, let me tell you a little secret. Let me help you out. Where some of these actresses, no names, they...
See, now I want the name, see?
No, I can't.
No, I know you can't.
Yeah, they can care less. It's about them. Yeah. But she is so genuine and caring and fun-loving. Mm-hmm. I would most definitely say Angela Bassett.
And what does she tell you that just...
See. Now you told my secrets. I'm having a brain freeze. No. I'm like, she's so genuine and caring and giving, and I'm like,
what did she say to me?
What do I have to give away? What secrets? Okay, but she said to me that even when you're not acting or performing, you have to live in the moment, and people have to believe in you're in the moment. So it doesn't even become about acting. So it's not even about the lines. So whenever the camera's on you or not on you, you think it's not on you, you have to be present, present in the moment.
Now, does that translate into why you're not filming, that you stay in character on set at all times? I'm taking that message from that? Or is it more to it?
It's a little bit more to it. Look, I had to go home and think about it for a day or two.
Right, right. I'm like that's
so
deep.
She's so intense.
Right, I'm like, that's so deep. Wait, like, I want to ponder that thought for a second.
It's like, wait a minute. Oh, what? But I kind of took that and with what Sheldon Patinkin from Columbia College, Steppenwolf, Second City, Extraordinaire, he said to me where he was talking about being present in the moment and also the actor's center. Some people get that. Some people won't get that. Some people are looking it up, Googling it. But it's kind of the same thing, I want to say. You know, yeah.
That's a good explanation. I mean, I'll take that.
It's some intense acting stuff. But, I mean, it helped me be Cassie Sutton, who was a teenager, and I was actually an adult. Me and the mother, we weren't too far apart in age when I cast that. It helped me become that teenage girl for 4 years, and people believe that, and all of a sudden to become, you know, Keita Whitmore, who's totally opposite from Cassie Sutton. Yeah. So they were more into character development and character traits.
And you also appeared on Pop Stars. Now, that I found quite interesting. So does that mean that you're also a singer as well? Because, I mean, I want to hear a little bit of sample of a track or your favorite song. You know,
whatever you listen to
tend to
right
make
now.
People sing in here when we find out that they got a nice voice. And I could just tell you can sing. Like, really, really sing.
Everybody always comes up to me and, like, give me a melody. I'm like, what? They're like, we know we got it in you. I'm going to say is when the lights go on and I'm on set and somebody tells me to sing, I sing. I'm like, let me get ready. Yeah. Like,
What about a little sample of your favorite song? What's in your, you know, something that's on the radio right now or anything, 3 seconds.
What you're listening to.
That you're listening to.
What I'm listening to. Yeah.
Or like a sample of you singing that.
No. I have to come back and do that.
Okay. That's the next show.
What am I listening to? It's weird because I like all types of music. Don't judge me, okay? Because I'll listen to some country, and then I'll turn around and listen to some rap in the same like time frame, okay?
Hey, I feel you on that. So, I'm not mad at you at all.
it's crazy because I'll listen to some like Lil Jon. I was listening to Lil Jon coming here.
I like that you even did the dance step though while you were.
Why am I doing that? You know, it's, why am I doing that?
That's so natural though. That's what I love. You take us back. You got my shoulders moving a little bit.
Okay. I was listening to Lil Jon, but then I turned on Ricochet and started listening to that. So it's like bipolar.
A little diversity.
It's
diverse. I feel that.
It's very diverse. But I connect with everybody on a human level. So whether you want to talk about, you know, flowers or if you want to talk about twerking. Twerking, flowers, and love. Yeah. Well,
Twerking comes to mind, but a movie that was kind of a pre-twerk movie was Save the Last Dance, and you did that.
Oh, yeah.
You were in that.
With Julia Stiles and Kerry Washington. And now tell us about the experience on working on that film.
Ooh, I got to see Kerry Washington before she was Kerry Washington.
Before she was Kerry,
And you knew that Kerry Washington was going to be, you know, this phenomenal actress because she was always in the moment. Always. And you're like, okay, let me go look up this girl. She's intense. And where is she from? And I'm like, oh, she's from New York. And she does theater, too. So shout out to her. She's a true thespian.
She is.
Yes,
but,
she is.
I love working with her, and I love working with Julia Stiles. Yeah. It was some brilliant people on that set. And it's so crazy because the song that they played on there in the club scene, I mean, you can listen to it to this day.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the hell?
It's timeless.
that is a classic. And then you saw how everybody else did dance movies after Save the Last Dance.
Yep. So, in fact, that started the trend, I believe, right?
And it was shot in Chicago. So
nice.
I was so happy when people bring work to Chicago. That's a plug. Bring work home to Chicago.
I'm like
getting ready to do this film with Harry Lennox, and he's on the blacklist, and I keep watching him and watching him because I'm going to have the privilege to work with the iconic Harry Lennox, and it's going to be filmed in Chicago. So
what's the project all about?
It's called 72 Hours, and basically I'm so happy that I'm cast to play the lead in it, and she has to figure out if she wants to stay with her husband or not because he's done some things in the past. I can't really tell you.
You can't reveal those. Though.
No, but it's crazy. It's crazy the stuff that he's done in the past. So, of course, it's a drama.
Ooh.
And I get to dive back into the dramatic world and basically see what happens, you know.
Okay. I'm excited to see it.
I know.
I'm like, description. I'm like, can we get a sneak preview? Oh, like, can I take it home tonight?
Was going something.
Now, okay. As you are working and you have successful shows such as Let's Stay Together, where we get to see a lot of Black female leads. We have Scandal now. We have Being Mary Jane. Do you feel that there is a change that's happening in Hollywood where there is starting to be more opportunities for Black actresses like yourself?
Yes. There is a change in Hollywood that's most definitely occurring right now with opportunities for African-American actresses. And I owe it to high ratings. When our shows air, there's high ratings and people are looking at that. And people love to make money. So they're like, okay, let's cast some more people that can make more money. And so it's only because people identify with our stories. Yeah. And for so long, our stories weren't being told. But now that you have these people coming out, giving us opportunities, people are like, oh, they're bringing in ratings. Yeah. And plus, the story is good. And then also with the box office successes. So it's really a good thing because, like, I did this movie called Black Coffee. And then when I first did it, everybody was like, oh, it's going to go straight to DVD. Oh, no. Another one is straight to DVD. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because it's a really good story and it needs to be out there.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, AMC Theaters calls. And then they give it a run. And nice. We're traveling from this theater to this theater, this theater, this theater. So now we have the opportunity to say, you know, it's movie theaters. And I owe that to the good storytelling that's being, like, developed out there, whether it's in films or in television. So I'm happy there's more projects out there for us.
What do you think it is about the environment now that's sort of making all of this happen? Because there's been a lack for so long, and there's always trends where, you know, obviously we had the 90s. There was a great comedies, Living Single, Martin, and those things coming out. So we have phases, but for some reason it's never able to just continue on. Now seems different. Why would do you think? What do you think it is about the environment now?
It's an untelevised revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We'd like to believe so. Fingers crossed. Lord.
Yeah.
Right, I got my power to the people.
It, you know, I owe it to, there's some people out there that are forces to be reckoned with that are developing projects. Ava,
you guys. Ava is not to be played with.
We waiting. Come in here, Ava.
I work with her on Lincoln Heights, and I knew that this lady's a beast.
Yeah.
So she, you know, in her presence, you know, she was like giving us advice and telling us what to do as far as publicity because she did publicity for Lincoln Heights. Yeah. Shout out to Ava, and then. Fast forward, 5 or 6 years? She's like, I'm writing, I'm developing, and I'm producing, and I have a distribution company. I'm like, whoa. But this genius is making things happen for a lot of people.
She is.
Mm-hmm. You know? And then also, I mean, when you have one person like Tyler Perry or Oprah creating work for us, it's creating work for a whole lot of people. So people are like, these people need to do this. They need to do this. But you forget that one or two project that they did for that year, they hired a slew of people and gave all these people an opportunity to work on a project that wouldn't have that opportunity because nobody was calling them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's grips and gaffers out there that was like, I worked on this one project and I was so happy I got hired. And that was like their driving force throughout the year was that one project and somebody believed in them and called them to move a sandbag on set.
Yeah.
So you see that. And to me, that is so so important because you're not just giving actresses or directors or writers opportunities, but you got grips, gaffers, crew, crafty, I mean, hair, makeup, wardrobe, and all these people are working. So it's good. It's good that you have those forces out there that are writing for us and creating projects. And then also, you know, Sundance, I love it because they've been showing a lot of good movies with us in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, it's a breath of fresh air, you know, so.
And it seems like the trend is, from looking at it from the outside here, it seems that it used to be a time where it would just be one on television or one writer for a show or one. Now, with the pool of talent that's out there, it really does seem like people like Tyler, like Oprah, like Ava are hiring, like you said, that new fresh talent that's helping kind of spice things up. And outside people are starting to recognize that too.
Yep.
The non-traditional Hollywood is starting to bring in those people as well, it seems
it's
like.
It's creating more opportunities. Like I got a phone call and there was this one project and so they were like, we need someone to help fund on this project. And I was just like, ooh, let me read the story. And I read the story. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it, and it was about love. It's called The Last Fall. And I was like, by any means necessary, I want to help get this project out there. So it's like everybody has to take initiative, whether it's you want to help produce a project or if you want to get on the phone and tell one of your friends to get involved with the project to get our stories out there. That all helps.
And we obviously just came off of 12 Years of Slave success at the Oscars and Lupita winning, which is spectacular.
Yes.
Some critics have said that they feel that the stories that are winning are stories that don't need to be told anymore, and that we need to focus on more modern stories and future stories. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, I knew you were going to give me the hard question.
Ooh. Well, as an actress, I would love to know kind of like what story do you feel needs to still be told that hasn't been told, or just people's viewpoint on saying that things like 12 Years of Slave,
the slaves, the help,
those stories are the just, typical things that,
and that's what we win awards for. And
well, okay,
we turned the air on, so you got to keep it real now.
Yeah, let me drink some water here.
Take a sip.
Okay.
Center moment. Yeah.
that is a conversation that people are talking about now. And I'm happy that you see people that I can identify with that are in my demographic winning awards at such a high level of success. I mean, that's as big as you get, you know, the Emmys, the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, all that, BAFTA. I'm elated because that's a hard, it's a hard journey to get to.
Yes, it is.
So if Halle Berry had to play that role as that, you respect that woman in the body of her work, because it's extremely hard to even get on that stage or to get in that room. So sure. How dare you judge someone in their journey, you know, to getting to that level. You know, it's almost, I'm reading this book, and when people talk negative and don't and can't and why this happened, they're reflecting on who they are. But if you can appreciate the good in someone and say, I'm glad for their success, I'm happy that they're happy, then that is a reflection of you. And then soon you'll start to be happy too with yourself. Maybe you might get an invitation there, you know, but you can't judge people. I'm excited. The girl comes from Yale.
Yeah.
She's trained. She's a thespian. Yeah. She does theater. And I just respect true actresses. There's so many people on here that call themselves actresses, and you're looking like, wait a minute. Right. But that girl, Lupita,
is an actress. Yes, she
and is. You have to respect her because she took that role, Patsy. And I read that script before it was being cast, and I was like, wow, whoever gets this role, this is genius. Whoever gets this role, this is going to catapult them to new levels, and they deserve it, and she deserves it.
Yeah.
And I can watch her performance. It's so hard to watch her performance over and over and over, but she went there. Yeah. Can you imagine?
She's so vulnerable. Yeah.
Can you imagine betraying that? And plus, those stories need to be told. That actually happened. So whether you're reading the history book or whether you're watching it on TV or in a movie, the stories need to be told.
Yeah.
So hands down to Lupita for winning and all the other Oscar winners before her time.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Amen.
And then on to some stories that maybe don't need to be told. Reality TV.
Oh, they're giving me the hard question.
I know. I love your, I just want, because this is, so let me start over. So with this question, we have a bunch of reality TV shows. I'm not going to name any. Real Housewives of Beverly, of Atlanta. And we have,
Love and Hip Hop,
which I tend to watch some of these shows myself.
Oh,
But they have been known to depict African-American men and women in certain lights. Do you think as an actress that is a problem for obtaining... obtaining a sense of
integrous roles,
being respected or taken seriously in Hollywood, because we do have these type of reality shows that are not depicting women and men in a great light. We'll give you another sip of water.
Yeah, let me get some more water at that one. Okay, so there's two sides to this coin. Like, to every coin, it's two sides. I'm happy that it's making people who want to be visible, because certain people just want to be visible. Not that they deserve the visibility, but it feeds their spirit and soul. You know, they want the lights, camera, action, all that stuff. It's like, wait a minute, what about the talent? You know, that part. And what do you go get coaching? And who do you work with, or whoever you work with? But some people don't care about that. But the positive thing is it's putting money in their pockets and they can feed their kids, you know? And so I'm happy that, you know, they're finding wealth off their personality. People are getting hired off their personalities now.
Yes. True.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You have YouTube stars who just do, you know, they are making a lot of money.
You have Instagram stars.
Yeah.
I'm looking at people with all these followers. I'm like, who is this? Oh, she wore them jeans. Oh, okay. And people like how she looks in those jeans. So it's like, oh, whatever. Oh, okay. But anyway, you know, hey, everybody gets their shine how they get their shine. Sure. Some people show a little too much. You're like, what? You know, it's crazy because I have people calling me, telling me to do some dumb stuff. Yes. Why don't you wear a butt shot with some Daisy Dukes and stuff, and you can put it on Instagram and people will like you? I don't need people to like me for that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What? You leave whoever in Kansas or Tennessee or whatever to do that, to build them up. I'm already built up where I don't need people to like me for take my dignity and my self-esteem and go back over here to Chicago and be happy with myself because I didn't have to show all of this so people could like me.
Mm-hmm. And do you use that philosophy also when picking your roles? Like, are you really picking on what you want to be perceived as, or what role you want to choose for your career? Like, how does that work with you? Like, how do you go about selecting which roles you'd like to do?
I am selective. I get calls and I turn down projects. I do. I feel happy that I'm in a place where I don't like need your money. People are like, I offer you $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. You're like, what? I don't need that. I'm cool. But who's this character? What's her message? You know? And they're like, well, she has to do this. She has to be this. And, you know, I'm like, no. I like redeemable characters. They have qualities, redeeming qualities. So I do look at scripts and discern which role I want to portray, because you're not just doing it for yourself, but your audience too. They're looking at that.
For sure.
I have people tweeting me talking about, I saw you in this, I saw you in that. You can have one line of something you did years ago and people see that. You're like, how did you see that? That's not even on IMDb. Yeah, I did that project with Romeo, but it's not on IMDb. who has that lost footage? It's crazy. So you have to be careful, you know, because people will start to associate you with that.
That's
like,
true.
Oh, you played the slut in this. You are a slut until you get something else different. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. But yes, I do look at projects and discern if, you know, I want to take them or not. But you know, reality stars, they have to do what they have to do. There are some good reality programming
there is.
It's like some bad ones, and the bad ones are really bad.
Yeah.
And then the good ones are really good.
Yeah.
Exactly. But going back to your choice in roles and what you want to portray, how has that sort of philosophy and your selection evolved over the course of your career so far, and where do you want to see that go for yourself in the future?
Well, now that people are starting to write more roles for African-American women, I see myself in more thrillers, because we didn't have a lot of thrillers out there.
I love a good thriller. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a lot of action movies out there. We don't have enough love stories being told. Whoever the powers that be, we need more love stories.
Black folks love too.
Right.
We like them. We love those Love Jones love stories.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah. We fall in love too, you know. Write some more love stories
please,
for us. Yeah,
please,
you know. So it's crazy, but since more and more stories are being developed for us, I feel like I will find myself in a good love story like that. And if I'm busy working, then most definitely I want to invest in that project where I'm helping them to create their dream and bring it to fruition, whether I have to make a phone call to help do something to get it developed, or if I have to participate, you know, and help produce.
Yeah.
And I think more people need to get out there. Everybody's talking about what's not happening, but it's like, okay, are you producing? Are you writing? What are you doing besides talking? Yes. You're just talking. But do another ing. Producing, directing, writing something instead of just talking. So it's crazy because I have to shut people down.
Yeah.
When people start talking crazy with this not being done out here, I have to shut them down and say, well, then you do it.
Yeah.
And they just, it's
silent. That's when I get silent.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the community, the black community has often been known, we're spoken about, not really pulling each other up.
Right.
So to speak, mm-hmm. and reaching out to each other and helping each other along. Do you feel like that maybe is changing for you in the Hollywood sphere? Do you feel like there's an energy of community that's really trying to touch and bring up everybody as opposed to they got it, so they're just in a different league now and they're not really doing anything to help?
I look, she, every time she takes
she's
that
like
sip
laughing
of water.
And looking to the side, need some water.
Some of this is off-air conversation.
This will be part two of the interview.
We will get the politically correct answer.
And the PC.
And the PC.
PC way of saying this is, well, here in America, the people here, no, it does take a village to raise a child, and some children aren't being raised.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say.
I like how you put that.
Yeah. So hopefully the village will come together and help raise some children and not turn their back on them. I've been fortunate to work with some people who haven't turned their back on me. I have to say, oh my gosh, Kevin Hooks, shout out to him, you know, with Lincoln Heights. And you find some good people out there that help build you up.
Yeah.
And
and he's doing his thing.
Oh my gosh.
He's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can find a mentor or somebody out there, I have a lot of people calling me and Facebooking me for advice and stuff like that, and I try to help them as much as I can. But I think it needs to be like a spiral effect.
Yeah.
If somebody asks you a question, you need to help them out because we all need help. Like
we
I said, it
help.
Takes a village, you know? So I try to be as forthcoming with information as I can with it and helping people. But basically, the thing is, whatever you want to do, you can do it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think people misconstrue that, like, well, I need somebody to hire me. No, you can hire yourself. So, okay, so a long time ago, I did a short film. And some of these people in this short film are series regulars now and movie stars.
That's great.
But they weren't then, but we just all kind of got together and created. So keep yourself busy and create, you know, whether it's with a short film or, you know, if you're working with a student film. Get busy writing. Get busy creating. When you say you're a writer, you're supposed to have a whole bunch of scripts.
Right, exactly.
Like, you're a writer. Yeah, I'm a writer. And you're like, what have you written? Oh, I'm on my synopsis of this. You're like, what? Well, no. How many pages? How many pages? And they're like, oh, no. Whatever you are doing, you have to say, whether it's acting. Okay, I've done this short film. I've done this student film. I've done this theater. I've done this commercial. Build yourself up with creating your own work. So there's no excuses out there.
There's no excuse. And then they can write a new love story and all these other projects. Now, with you mentioning love story, you had a very interesting one on Lincoln Heights, which was really popular. I love that show. I was sad to see it go, to be honest with you. I thought it was a show that was needed on television. It was great for ABC Family Channel. It changed the game to me. It was among those shows that featured strong black characters in a household that was a rarity on television. When you saw that script and start working on that show, did you realize the power of what that show really was for ABC Network?
I didn't realize it's the third season.
Or ABC Family Network, excuse me.
I didn't realize it to third season because they started really developing the story between Robert Adamson, who played Charles on the show, and myself. And we started, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, oh, we was working for 4 days. Now we're working 8 days. Okay, we're getting more work to do. So then we realized, like, uh-oh, we got to really work here and build up this chemistry. So the power I didn't know the power of it until people started taking the video clips
yeah.
of what was happening in the scenes and putting it on YouTube. And then they started nicknaming us Chassis. Like, I read a tweet today says there's some Chassis lovers out there still. And I'm like, wow.
I love that.
This is something that was done in 06, 07, 08, 09. And then people still watch it on Netflix yeah. to this day. Yeah. And it's crazy. I love the support. Because some people were like, oh, I watched all four seasons like two or three times. I'm like, really? Wow. So, I mean, there goes the whole thing where, you know, our stories can be told. Yeah. Our black family, you know, our stories can be told and can be related to, you know. So they knew the power. I think they knew the power about third season. They started giving more scripts and saying, you guys are picked up again. You guys are picked up again. And then when we got syndicated, whew, that's the word you want to hear, syndication. Those checks, yeah.
right. I'm going to get that check in the mail every day.
Yeah, those checks. You know, then I knew the power. You know, but I'm so happy that people still watch it on Netflix. And, I mean, I just retweeted a tweet today that says, I've known you since Lincoln Heights and love it. So, to me, it's so fulfilling as an artist when somebody remembers your work and connects to you yeah. emotionally from something you did like several years ago. So that means the world to me.
And now you are currently on the fourth season, as we mentioned, of Let's Stay Together.
Yes.
Keita is back.
Keita's back.
What can we expect this season from Keita?
Oh, this season. And people were tweeting too. They were like, where is Christian Keys? We want Troy and Keita. Where's Troy and Keita? People love
because you guys
that.
Had that moment, you know, mm-hmm. last, what was it? That's the mid-season,
yeah.
kind of mid-season break, but you guys had that little connection there.
Yes.
Oh, you guys just have to hang in with us because toward the end, it's going to get steamy and he's going to be back and I'm sure people are going to love it, you know? So it's always a joy to work with him. You know, I did that film with him called Black Coffee, and he's doing his thing. Yes. So you guys are going to see Troy and Keita. I got so many tweets last night. Where's Troy and Keita? Where's Troy and Keita? One person even said, I only want to see you in scenes with, there's Troy and Keita. I was like that. I had to retweet. I loved it. But people are yearning to see that love, you
that,
know?
That black love.
That, yes. black, that love. Black love. So they see it with the other characters who's doing an amazing job on the show. They see it, and they want to see more of it. Mm-hmm. So they're asking for more of it. We're going to give it to them. Season 4 on BET's Let's Stay Together. We're going to give it to them.
And then we've seen Keita kind of go through a different transitions of her job path. She was at the DMV. She was a reality star. Now she's a police trainee. What career do you want Keita to have?
Ooh, can I say this live? Yes. Well, I want her to be a... No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I mean, you know what? When they told me I had to be a cop, I was like, what? Seriously? And then they were like, yes, you know, bring this cop to life. So, I mean, I had fun working as a cop. But it was challenging, too, because I had to figure out, okay, so even though this is a comedy, but the cops are stern, I want people to take me serious as a cop, but she has this humor side to her. How can I do this balance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you see, mostly you see cops on dramas.
Yes.
So, shoot, am I like the first female cop on a sitcom? I have to say, maybe I am. You don't see them on sitcoms.
That's true. Yeah.
Adults.
Just
so
dramatic.
It's just balancing those two, but it's a breath of fresh air when you get to see Keita not on the job, in her cop uniform, and, you know, being in a love life, yeah. you know, and letting her hair down. You get to see the warmth of the character. And I think that's what people are begging for to see more of, is that love life from Keita between Troy and her. So I do like the balance. I do. I'm happy that they gave me the balance of her being stern and as the cop. But then I do like the warmth and the love life that she has with Troy.
With Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And then since the show obviously deals so much with love and relationships, do you get a lot of people who ask you for love advice or relationship advice?
Yeah.
And what's advice that you would give to our listeners or viewers?
Treat people how you want to be treated, point blank. So, I mean, if you want someone to fall in love with you, You have to fall in love with yourself first. You mm-hmm. have to think you're attractive before somebody else can think you're attractive. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what makes you feel attractive about yourself? You know, I had to tell one of my relatives, like, what makes you happy? What makes me happy? Like, what makes you happy? Is it getting a mani-pedi? Is it getting a massage? What brings you to that? You know, what's your favorite candy? What brings you to that, to that, that euphoric state,
yeah.
you know, with yourself? I don't know. I said, well, if you can't find it, then how are you going to tell somebody to find it within you?
That's rule number one.
You don't know what makes you happy, but you're asking for a relationship with someone else to make you happy? You got to make yourself happy. Like before, you know, I would make myself happy by doing things that, you know, I wanted to do, whether it's taking long walks, you know, exercising, you know, listen to my favorite song. You got to be happy with yourself, by yourself first, mm-hmm. before you could be in somebody's company. So it was like, enjoy your company, because sometimes you have these people say, I'm lonely, I'm lonely. And you're like, you're lonely? Well, enjoy your company. And then you won't feel that way. You won't be lonely. You don't have to have somebody there with you, companionship, to feel like you're not lonely. You can still have a companion and still feel lonely.
That's true.
There's a lot of people out there in relationships that still feel lonely. But you have to feel what kind of floats your boat. You know, what makes you happy by yourself before you can bring anything else to the table in a relationship. Yes. You know?
Key advice right there.
Key advice.
And be happy with yourself and then make somebody else happy.
Speaking of happy and joy and love,
yeah.
you recently had a baby girl.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. I see the smile. That smile went from
like. Let me get my phone and get the picture.
I was waiting for the picture. They pop up on the back of the screen.
You see, some people who don't have kids, like, and she showed me, this lady in the airport showed me like 50 pictures of her. And that's her when she's on her Halloween. That's her in a tutu. That's her. I have thousands of pictures because it's amazing to me, motherhood. I love it.
What's been the best part so far?
Am I going to sound like a geek? Yeah, I am going to sound like that. I like reading to her.
Hey,
and
that's a great thing.
Her learning, like, the different things in the books of what's going on and her remembering the book. You're like, in the book, she went swimming. I'm like, yeah. Read to your kids, people. Reading is fundamental. Mm-hmm. Don't think, you know, it's vital.
Yes.
How has
it been managing career and dealing with all that sort of shift?
Thank goodness for a supportive family. My family helps me because sometimes I'll have to be away for 2-3 months and fly out on weekends. And that's like, you need a support system.
They come out here.
Mm-hmm, they'll come out here, or I'll go out there, you know, when I can. Getting ready to leave now, go back. So I'll go back and forth. Those sky miles, yeah, I'm racking up on those sky miles. So support system. You got to have a support system, whether it's friends or family.
And then we mentioned education and just theater all the way down to commercials and just like your career. If your daughter comes up and grows up and says, Mom, I want to be an actress, how would you react? Which I think I got a little bit of sample right there, for one. And then, two, would you also want her to get educated first in school and then go into the acting realm?
Education first. Get educated first. You know, and not to say people who don't go to school aren't educated, because you got some people out there that have not gone to school, but they take themselves to school. There's the online schools, and these people are brilliant because they're reading, and becoming intelligent. I thought about going back to school online. You know, that's a great thing to do. So I can say, I'm a doctorate. I'm in the doctorate program. I'm a doctor. Yeah, so, I mean, there's so many ways out there that you can become educated. Through homeschool and all that stuff, but I wouldn't want her most definitely to go to school most definitely before she jumped into the entertainment industry.
Yeah. You're like, no non-education in my household.
Yeah. I mean, hey, what works for one person may not work for the other, but I was always raised to get an education and go to school, so I want her to live out that tradition.
And as you balance family life and business, tell us more about Erica Hubbard's foundation. How did you create it? What made you want to start it?
The Erica Hubbard Foundation is my nonprofit, and the reason I created it was I come from an at-risk neighborhood. And at-risk, for certain people who don't know, that means a community that deals with maybe poverty or all kinds of trials and tribulations, whether it's gangs or prostitution, or it's like a low-income type of neighborhood. So once I got out of that situation, I wanted to go back. It's a lot of people who don't go back, and they're living in their big houses and driving their fancy cars, but they never get back to the community. Yeah. And I felt it was so important to get back to the community, because you kind of want to pull somebody up out of that situation. And I'm still trying to do that verbally and mentor the youth, saying just because you're in this situation doesn't mean you can't get out of it. But a lot of youth in those situations, they need somebody to tell them. A lot of them, their aunts are raising them.
Yeah.
And their aunt sometimes maybe has to go to work, so they're not seeing the kid. Their grandma is raising them. Maybe the grandma's tired, and she can't, you know, talk to the child. So I go back to youth groups and churches and schools and all kind of like community centers in at-risk neighborhoods, and talk to kids about changing their mindset and not believing that they're not believing that they're not better than their circumstance.
Yeah.
You are better than your circumstance. So don't believe that. Whoever, and sometimes you have kids that they have parents or no parents or friends that told them, you're never going to get out of the situation. You might as well go rob this liquor store with me, or you might as well go sell yourself for money. You have, you know, so you have to have somebody to influence them to, you know, be a positive force, you know, and say, no, you know, I have dreams and aspirations, and I'm going to live them out regardless of where I come from. So that's why I created the Erica Hubbard Foundation. I travel from Detroit. I've been to Georgia, of course, Chicago, all kind of communities. And actually, I went to this one high school in Detroit, and I'll never forget it. It was a high school only for pregnant teen girls. And in this high school, I was the first speaker there ever. And
really?
They were like, what are you doing here? And, you know, it was like, what? I'm coming to, you know, encourage you guys and motivate you guys to, you know, dream big and have big aspirations and become successful. Like, what do you want to be? What do I want to be? What are you talking about? Some of these kids, they were in high school. They don't even know what they want to be. It was like, wait a minute. You know, what college are you in? College? And what's your major?
That's scary.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So even though you have these kids having kids, you have to tell them still, you can be something in life. Like, you know, you want to be an astronaut. Don't think that dream is so far away. You just have to put out, like, manifest it. Say, at first, I want to be an astronaut. And then take the road, you know, whether you're going through. If you can't afford to go to college, go to community college. If you can't afford to go to community college, maybe you can find a mentor and they can coach you on how to do this. And maybe you could build up your money here on this side job, and then slowly but surely start to take classes, you know, if you can't enroll full time to be an astronaut. But some of these kids are like, they haven't even thought about that. So I go to these schools and I'm like, what do you want to do? I'm going to come back to you. You don't know? Okay. What do you, you know? And so I have these people Facebooking me and tweeting me like, you encouraged me. You motivated me to be something better with myself. And, you know, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Now, you know, I want to be a gymnast.
And now we can be. We see it. We win the Olympics in that category as well.
You know, yes. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
Gymnast, whatever. Just the key is to at least say you want to do something or be something first.
Yeah.
But if you're not saying it, then it's like,
how are you going to obtain it?
You have to manifest. You have to put it in the universe.
And you
have to feel like it's obtainable.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Before I became a series regular, I was in a mirror. I'm a series regular. I am. You got to talk to yourself. I didn't need anybody to talk to. I was like, wait, you're going to book this role. You are. You can do it. You go, you know, like, you know, but if you can't find the confidence in yourself, you need a support system, your family or friends that believe in you and say you can do it.
Yeah.
So center yourself around people that are like, you're going to do it. You're going to do it if you can't say it for yourself.
I love that. And then you've had such a beautiful career. What would you use as one word to define your career?
one word to define my career would just be blessed. I feel blessed.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I see it. I see it all.
Oh,
in you.
Thank you.
The joy is all around.
The joy is all around.
Thank you, guys. Oh,
well, thank you for joining
it.
Us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And we love thank Let's you. Stay Together and yes, the new premiere that happened last night. And we can catch it all on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night.
Tuesday nights, BT, Let's Stay Together. Right after BT's The Game is BT's Let's Stay Together. And Let's Stay Together. Watch it, support it.
Watch it. Yes, where can your fans find you on social media outlets?
I'm on Instagram, one Erica Hubbard. Then I'm on Twitter, Erica Hubbard. So,
Courtney?
That's me.
Twitter and Instagram, Stuart Starlet.
Yeah. I'm Daryl Christian. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to tune in Let's Stay Together on Tuesday nights on BET. Yay. I'll be watching. I have it on my DVR. I watched it last night as well. We're going to keep it going.
Thank you.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Daryl Christian, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.